All right, so today we're going to talk about the Christian Scientist perspective of evil and healing. Evil and healing. And this will be our last day of Christian Science for the rest of your life, unless you take another class on it. So, Christian Science, we're taking a look at page 128, and we're going to be looking at evil, the paragraph on evil there. I need someone to read that first paragraph in Christian Science.
In Christian Science, there exists no evil. Here also is found the path, the basal statement, the cardinal point in Christian Science that matter and evil, including all harmony and sin, disease and death, are unreal. According to the Christian Science, Christ came to destroy the belief of sin. It is further emphasized, evil is but an illusion. It has no real basis. Evil is a false belief. God is not its author.
So, evil doesn't exist. Evil does not exist. And this is easy, because evil exists only in the material world, and the material world doesn't exist. Now, this is a self-defeating argument. This is as self-defeating as astrology that says the heavenly bodies predict your life. Really? All of it? Even the idea of me believing that it predicts my life? Isn't that self-defeating to believe that I was predicted, to believe I was predicted? Here is a testimony of Mr. R.C. Sproul. He's a pastor from Florida, and his book, Does God Control Everything? Mary Baker Eddy, the founder of Christian Science, said evil is an illusion. I once had a debate with a Christian Science teacher about the question of evil. He insisted that evil is an illusion, that it does not really exist, while I insisted that evil is quite real. At one point in the discussion, I said, let me see if we can recapitulate here where we stand. You say that evil is an illusion. I say that it's real. Do you think I'm real? He said, yes. I then asked, do you understand that I'm saying that evil is real and you're saying it's an illusion? I'm real. I'm talking about evil, and you're saying the evil of which I'm talking about is non-existent. It's an illusion. It merely appears real. He said he understood that. So I went on. Do you think it's a good thing that I'm teaching people that evil is real? He said he did not think so. Finally, I asked, do you think it's evil for me to teach people that evil is real? He did not know what to say at that point. He had to conclude that I was an illusion as well. Right? Think about how self-defeating it is. Evil does not exist. It's evil for me to insist that evil Evil does not exist. It's evil for me to insist that evil exists. Therefore, I must not exist because I am doing something evil. Now, I know you're probably thinking, who in the world believes this stuff? Thousands of people do. Thousands of people do. So they do not believe that evil exists. I need someone to read the next paragraph. Since evil, along with the smaller print.
Since evil is an illusion, the idea of the death of Christ on the cross for our sins is unnecessary. The material blood of Jesus was no more efficacious to cleanse from sin when it was shed upon the cursed tree than when it was flowing in his veins as he went daily about his father's business.
So part of evil is sin. Evil doesn't exist. Sin, therefore, does not exist. So Christ's death, which didn't exist, had no purpose. Why are you going to die for something that doesn't exist? So that is where we go with this train of thought. Now, it does have uses. I'm not saying that there are all kinds of people out there that believe something that doesn't profit them in some way. So let's remind ourselves of a few things we've read. Norman Geisler said, illusionism is the belief that the world only appears to be real. A modern form of illusionism is Christian Science. According to Mary Baker Eddy, evil is not a real entity. Instead, it's a false perception. It is the error of the mortal mind, which is to be distinguished, by the way, from the brain. The brain is material. It is not the same as your mind. The brain is material. I mean, it's something you can touch. So a brain doesn't need to be the same as a mind. Okay? And so they're saying that it is an illusion of the material or the mortal mind. Christian Science maintains that God is truth and that there is no pain in truth, and so there's no truth in pain, and so God is the only one that exists and pain does not. We are therefore divine ideas. We are ideas in the mind of God. Now, this seems like a remix of what we said a few days ago. It is, because these beliefs of Christian Science build off of one another. It's a lot like the perfect textbook 5-point Calvinist. If you believe that God is the only one that is real, then that means that if we're real, we're only real ideas waiting to be assumed back into the God consciousness. I don't even know what I'm talking about. Yes, but this will be very, very clear to you once we get to Buddhism. This is really just a type of Buddhism. For example, Douglas Gruthius in his work Christian Apologetics 2011 says, one way to dispense with the problem of evil is to just dispense with it. This route is taken by various forms of pantheism, such as Zen Buddhism, and worldviews and mind science churches like Christian Science. Since all is ultimately divine, evil cannot be a part of the real. It is only a problem of perception and not a problem of objective reality. Pantheists hold that God is beyond evil and good, and the difference between good and evil is really just apparent and not real. It's really just apparent. That's funny. So, now, again, you can't imagine this, but next time you're surfing through the channels, stop on TBN for a few minutes. Or CBN, Trinity Broadcasting Network, Christian Broadcasting Network. You're going to find a preacher up there that says, you just talk away those problems. Debt, I don't know you. You know, that kind of stuff, right? All that is an off-cropping of this stuff. I mean, this is 150 years old, 140 years old. It's had lots of time to spawn pseudo-Christian, false Christians, false Christianhoods. A lot of things that can look like the real deal. People Creflo Dollar, same deal. I don't know you. Depression, I don't know you. Trying to speak things out of existence. You're dead to me. Okay, that's cute. But all that is a mix. It's called Word of Faith Movement. T.D. Jakes, same thing. It's the same stuff. You know, talk away the debt. Talk away the despondency. Talk away people who don't believe. You don't exist to me. Same idea. So, it's actually philosophical hypocrisy. What is philosophy? The love of knowledge. Let's work through that real quick. What does that mean?
Love of
love. Wise.
Yeah, wisdom. Love of wisdom. Sophia is the Greek word for wisdom. Okay? Whereas philo is the word for familiar love. So, a love for wisdom, philosophy. What is hypocrisy?
Under truth? Saying one thing to the other.
That's one of the usages, but it spawns from its actual meaning, which means lack of sincerity. It actually comes from the Greek word without wax. Or actually, sincerity is without wax. Hypocrisy is false appearance of different face. That's what it is. A different face. Hypocrisy. Sincerity is the opposite in the Greek language. It means without wax. And the idea is that potters back in the first century, if they wanted to sell their stuff after they were found to be cracked or fissured or damaged, they would add wax to it. And it would cover up the problems in the pottery. And only when massive amounts of heat were added to the vessel would the wax melt, and then you could see the blemishes. And it was seen that if heat could be added to a vessel and there was no melting wax, it was called without wax, or the word is sincere. So, you have the idea here, philosophical hypocrisy, or two-faced philosophy, requires a person to engage in perpetual doublethink. So here's how it works. In order to live according to his or her worldview, consider any worldview, like Christian Science and most forms of New Age, that affirm that there is no objective evil in the world. Apparent evil is merely in the mind. It's only a lower form of consciousness, lower form, which is why Jesus had to be, well, apparently killed and ascended into the world of the metaphysical. Because he was only in a lower form of consciousness. So what you need to achieve is a higher form of consciousness. And eventually that means that you will not be here. Because as you reckon yourself dead to the physical realm, you will eventually one day wake up in his likeness. They actually use those scriptural phrases. That's Psalms. will wake up in his likeness. In their mind, no pun intended, that means that they believe that one day, if you continue to develop in your ability to be conscious of reality, one day you will not be here. We will not know you. You will not know us. You will be back in God, because he's the only one that exists. That's deep. But you're going to, again, you're going to meet people that talk like this. This is out of their own, here's a good one here. The adherent of such an evil-denying worldview must always redefine and dismiss evil as unreal. But when it comes to rape or murder, you cannot condemn that as truly evil in that worldview. But who can live with that? Who can live in a world that says, I was raped as a child? No, you weren't. That doesn't exist. It's phenomenally difficult to imagine that this holds any water in the face of an evil world. It's really very self-defeating. Ask the person who's been through heartache if it exists. So I'm going to read to you now out of her book, Science and Health with Key to the Scriptures, page 11, copyright 1906. Here's what it says. Here's what she says. Christian Science rationally explains that all other pathological methods are the fruits of human faith and matter, faith and workings, not of spirit, but of the fleshly mind, must yield to science. The physical healing of Christian Science results now, as in Jesus' time, from the operation of the divine principle, before which sin and disease lose their reality in human consciousness and disappear as naturally and as necessarily as darkness gives place to light and sin to reformation. She is basically, in flowery words that only a 60-year-old can use when she's been through what she's been through, saying that whatever evil you're experiencing, you just need to come to the reality that the divine principle, it's all capitalized, capital D, capital P, divine principle, is all that exists, and you submit yourself to it. So that is why they're called illusionary pantheists. Illusionary, because everything that is not God is an illusion. Pantheists, because everything that is real is what? Is God. Illusionary pantheism. Illusionary pantheism. Said, well, man, I could have graduated from this without knowing that. Yeah, you could have, but now you're better equipped because you're not afraid of big wordology. You like what I did there? People, if they want to sound smart, they just add suffixes to words. Arrogancy. Methodology. What's the difference between method and methodology? Nothing. Arrogance and arrogancy. What's the difference? Nothing.
Methodology between.
So, you don't have to be afraid of words like illusionist pantheism. Oh, don't be afraid. Don't get a tummy ache every time you see words like philosophy. So, one closing thing here. We're going to get to Buddhism in February, and one of the subtopics of Buddhism is Zen Buddhism. All right. I think we ought to be very careful about joking about these other things. In the middle of our good-natured humor, you need to remember that a lot of the things that are common today used to be considered very wicked. Meditation used to be called transcendental meditation. Now we have complete segments of fitness centers where you can sit and do it. And you get special pants. Which if I ever see you guys in those pants, you're going to get heckled and probably thrown. Yeah, have something thrown at you.
Shut up.
And
probably, like,
especially if you have those three stripes down your pants.
What?
Just kidding. No, hey, I'm just kidding. All right, so so we know that.
You didn't hate on my Adidas pants?
No.
Yeah, yes, he is.
Yes. Look here. Pay attention here. Pay attention here. Our philosophy comes from what?
Our minds.
Philosophy comes from our theology. Now, theology, that's another word you need to stop being afraid of. What does it mean?
Study of God.
Theos, Greek word for God. Ology, study. Logos. Basically, it's based off of two words. Theos, logos. The study of God. Okay? Very easy. So we have four Greek words here. All that we use all the time in English. You've got to stop being afraid of that. Here's the idea. Our theology, or what we believe about God, drives our philosophy, and our philosophy drives, oh my goodness, our sociology.
How we act in our life.
The study of human interaction or human actions. So, let's work through this again. You have to see it. You can find this train anywhere in the way people think. How we feel or believe about God drives how we think, which drives how we act. Okay? So, if you want to use Barney words, what we believe about God drives how we think, which drives how we behave. Okay? If you want to impress people at the student union, our theology drives our philosophy, which drives our sociology. And some people would say that this drives our economy. In other words, how you are either rich or not. You heard the other day, I don't know if you heard it or not, you should have, I hope you heard it with your heart, but good-looking people get paid more. Did you hear that Sunday night?
Oh, yeah.
Good-looking people get paid more, get over it. And it's just the way it is, which is... Yeah, I figured you did. So you need to know this. And you need to see that this is very unhealthy to believe that what you're experiencing is not real. It can make you apathetic towards other people's evil in their life. If you have a good life and you're busy telling people that what they're going through is just a matter of the mind, everything that they feel is a matter of the mind, their depression's a matter of the mind, their sicknesses are a matter of their mind, eventually you're going to be very, very harmful to other people because you're going to assume that the only evil that's real is yours. Yeah. Any questions or comments?